How many of you make your bed every morning? And we did a Twitter poll asking you this question. I'm going to reveal the results in just a moment. And why do we ask this question? Well, I read an article by a guy who was actually a guest on Relevant Radio just a couple days ago on Morning Air, Father Connor Danstrom. Father Connor Danstrom, who wrote a piece on the Word on Fire blog called This Summer, Make Your Bed Every Morning. And as soon as I saw the title of that article, it made me think of the famous speech by the Navy SEAL, Admiral William McRaven, when he gave a very famous commencement speech to the class at the University of Texas at Austin, the graduating class in 2014. And that speech went viral. I encourage everybody to look that up on YouTube. It's a great speech in its entirety. But he did talk about the importance of making one's bed. Here is the admirable. Check the admirable admiral. Check this out.
To me, basic SEAL training was a lifetime of challenges crammed into 6 months. So here are the 10 lessons I learned from basic SEAL training that hopefully will be of value to you as you move forward in life. Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
A lot of great wisdom there from the Navy SEAL Admiral William McRaven, who actually wrote this speech became so viral, became so popular, that it actually became a book called Make Your Bed. And he's gotten a lot of talks out of this, to be sure. And we asked a Twitter poll. On our Twitter poll, do you make your bed every morning? And producer Lucas, what are the results so far?
The results are 68% say yes.
Okay.
8% say no. And 24% say sometimes. Now, I got to tell you, Kale, I was a bit surprised to see that only 8% said no. I thought the number would have been a lot higher. I'm wondering if this is completely accurate.
Only 8% said they don't make their bed every morning. So some of you might be lying and you might need to go to confession. No, I'm only kidding. And how about you, Lucas? Do you make your bed every morning?
I would fall into the sometimes category, but most often than not, no, I don't.
Okay.
So maybe I should start doing that.
Yeah, we. As for me, I can't lie about this because my wife is listening. The answer, we have to create a new category, rarely. And I know, I need to be better. I need to be better. Well, Father Connor Danstrom talked about this from a bit of a different angle, about why you should make your bed every morning. Maybe this summer it's a good time to start. And he starts off by mentioning a trip that he made recently to Israel, a pilgrimage. And when he was in Jerusalem, he talked about going to the Kidron Valley, which is east of the Temple Mount. It's between the Old City and the Mount of Olives. And if you've been there, you know that the Kidron Valley is full of ancient graves made of limestone, and it is blinding. When the sun shines on them, bouncing off the white limestone, it'll blind you. It's quite a sight. And producer Lucas on Stiesel, that TV show that we were talking about on Netflix, they go to these tombs quite often to visit the tombs of loved ones. And there's an ancient prophecy that was very common among the Jews that the Messiah would actually enter the city of Jerusalem through the Temple Mount, through the east gate of the temple. And that's exactly what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. So this is one of the reasons why a lot of Jews historically who could afford to do it would try to get buried there on the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount and the Kidron Valley, because that was going to be the epicenter of the resurrection from the dead, the general resurrection at the end of time. So when you go to these tombs, and Father Danstrup talks about this, his tour guide told him that a lot of these tombs have been used more than once because the coverings, they're not exactly airtight. And the first person who was buried there, well, you know, his remains would have long ago turned to dust and been blown away. And he got thinking, Father Danstrup started thinking, man, that's going to be me one day. Ground to dust, scattered wherever the wind blows, or maybe decaying in an underground concrete vault, forgotten by all people who are still in the land of the living. And all of us do have a natural aversion or even a hatred of death, but there's nothing we can do to take away the fact that we are mortal. We will die. There are not many certainties in life. Taxes is one, of course, and here's the other one. You're going to die, and so will everyone that you know, everyone you love. Not to get too depressing, but one day every single person who ever knew you will pass away as well, and you, a lot of people will be forgotten on this earth, but not to God, of course, not to God. And he talks about the second law of thermodynamics, Father Connor Danstrup. And this states that entropy must increase over time. And entropy is just a really fancy word for chaos and disorder. It means that everything is falling apart. The second law of thermodynamics. Nothing lasts. We're actually going from a state of order into chaos. And this is why some theories of evolution are so strange, this idea that, you know, we randomly evolved from chaos into order. Well, in actuality, the second law of thermodynamics says that the world's going the other way. We're falling apart, going into disorder. The world's coming to an end, and eventually you and I will too. And Father Danstrup says, these things are so depressing when you think about them. We tend not to think about them. We don't want to think about them. Maybe once in a while, when a loved one dies, when there's an accident or an illness, we start thinking about how fragile our existence really is. And we're overwhelmed by our mortality. And sometimes this can awaken us to what's really important in life. A brush with death, a near-death experience can really wake us up. Now I want to live much better. We can have positive changes in our beliefs, our behavior, but it can also paralyze us with existential dread. The fear of death, and this is one of the things that Scripture says, that the devil uses the fear of death to keep the world in bondage. And Father Danstrup says, though, that more often, though, death and decay kind of exist as background noise in our minds. Just like cable news in the airport. It's present to our consciousness. We know the TV's there, but we don't really look at it. We barely listen to it. Maybe an arresting image will appear on the screen. We'll look up at it. We'll be transfixed for a moment. But then our group will be called. We've got to get on the plane. And we leave it behind without a second thought. But he says, you know what? We've got to make our bed every morning. Now, what does this have to do with the reality of death? The universe is falling apart. Well, here's why. He says, have you ever had the thought, why make my bed? Why bother? I'm just going to sleep in it again anyways tonight. God knows I have, he writes, and I have too. you may as well say, why take a shower? I'm just going to go get sweaty and smelly again. These sorts of thoughts are not good. And sometimes they can be a symptom of spiritual acedia. And we've talked about that on the program in the past, this sort of spiritual laziness. Now, this is not to be confused with serious cases of depression, which are very real. And sometimes people don't make their bed, don't look after themselves because they are clinically depressed and they need help. And so a professional is needed in that case. But sometimes it's out of just pure laziness. Things fall apart. Everyone dies. Nothing lasts. Father Danstrup writes, so why do anything? Why bother? Why bother putting the bedspread back, the pillows back in place? Who are we trying to impress? What difference can it possibly make? Well, it actually can make a huge difference. He says, imagine if the first thing that you do every day is to make a rebellion against this second law of thermodynamics. the ever-increasing chaos of the universe, you look it square in the face every morning and say, not today, entropy. I'm alive by God, and I can create order where there used to be disorder. And we can bring order into our lives. And this is one of the things that we've got to do, because God is a God of order. When we look at the order of the natural universe, we understand that, he's all about order. So we should try to put some order into our lives. And he says part of our problem is because we're created in the image of God. We have immortal souls. And sometimes that allows us to have kind of a God perspective on things, a God's eye view of the world. We can see that, unlike the animals, we can put things in context, the context of the world, the context of history, the meaning of existence. I know these are highfalutin thoughts, but he says sometimes we can use this God's eye view as a pretense for laziness or self-indulgence. And he'll say, I'm sitting sometimes on my balcony on a warm night, reading a news article on my phone, watching a YouTube video, kind of wasting time. And then I see a spider in the corner of the railing, meticulously weaving her web as she does every night, only to see it destroyed the following morning by a windstorm or whatever else keeps the world from being covered in cobwebs. And sometimes, he says, I think, what if I could be as dumb as that spider? I'd probably get a lot more done. Our cleverness is often our downfall. The spider never thinks about how big the world really is, how futile our efforts might be to organize the chaos of our lives, how tough it is to live a productive and meaningful life. It just starts working. It just starts doing it. It never asks, what's the point? And so we should really take a hint from the spider. Archbishop Romero, who of course was martyred, he said, we cannot do everything. We can't. And there's a sense of liberation in realizing this. This does enable us, though, to do something and to do it very, very well. What we do matters, even if only for a little while. And so really, what I got out of this article was, don't let eternity keep you from time. Don't let, you know, this big picture, you know, what does it really matter in the end, in the light of eternity? No, it does really matter, because what we do in life echoes in eternity. That's what Maximus said in Gladiator, right? And we kind of make our eternity by what we do with our time. We've got to use it for God. We've got to bring order into our lives. And it starts with making our bed in the morning. So let's try to do that this summer. You've been listening to The Cale Clark Show. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog was on the phones. We had a great time today. Ask me anything tomorrow. Get your questions ready. Timory's up next, followed by the Family Rosary Across America. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.